Here, everybody, sign. Today we're holding on Daf Lamed Vav in Nida. Shnas Tov Shin Samachay. And because we're holding in such a Chomur Sugya, I think perhaps it's worthwhile for us to review a little bit. Perhaps we should begin once again and just quickly go over the sugya, starting from the new part of the Mishnah again. Very, very quickly. We'll start from Dam Yoledet Shelo Tavla. At the end of the first third of the daf. Thank you very much. So again, just to remind you, we have a very important machlokas in the Mishnah between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. I ask you once again to turn to the Mishnah so you can see it inside. Dam hayoledet shelo tavla. If a yoledet did not go to the mikveh, and now she continues to see dam, Beit Shammai omrim kiroka ufamei ragleha. And this makes absolutely no sense in terms of the normal halacha, because how could she, either it's dam, dam is matami even if it's lach, or it's a mayan. Then it would make sense, a mayan is matami only if it's lach and not if it's yavish. But to say that dam is a mayan contradicts everything that we know about dam. That's the whole point, dam is not a mayan. So either the reason it's not a mayan, of course, is because it doesn't collect first in any type of organ that holds it and then eject. It's rather something that drips out continuously. Therefore, Beit Shammai doesn't make any sense in saying that it should be mitzami like a mayan. It should be mitzami only if it's damp and not if it's dry. So as we saw earlier in the Gemara, Beit Shammai holds that we're going to be machmir min rabbanan, because she didn't go to the mikveh and she continues to bleed. But in order to establish that this is only a tumah d'rabbanan and not a tumah d'oraisa, we can't say that it should be tamei across the board and to be matami even if it's dry. Therefore, we make this distinction. Look, it'll be matami here, but everyone will know it's a d'rabbanan because they'll think to themselves, how is it possible that dam should be matami and it should only be matami if it's damp and not if it's dry? Must be it's a d'rabbanan, because it doesn't make sense. Correct? Okay. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, holds that this dam is regular dam, and it's matame lach v'yavesh. Why? Because she never went to the mikveh. Since she never went to the mikveh, she remains a yoledes. That's l'chora what they're arguing about, yeah?
A little bit of a steer to the ratio of the Mishnah, where Beit Shammai held that.
We discussed that at great length, why we can't make a simple distinction like that when it comes to the Avodas Kechavim. As Rashi explained, where I went through the whole Rashi with you to make sure that that would be clear. When it comes to Avodas Kechavim, it's either an all or nothing thing. Okay. Yeah, because otherwise people come on the contrary to make a mistake in the D'oraisa. But here, nobody's going to make a mistake to think there's no such thing as dam tohar. Everybody knows it's dam tohar. So the mela, we make it. If you don't go to the mikveh, then you're not going to have the benefits of dam tohar. Continues the Mishnah. However, modim, Beit Shammai is moda, that if she's not only a yoledes, but before the birth had seen dam 3 days, that was not kosher to the birth, lahalacha. Because, as we'll see what defines that, but the labor pains had stopped, that in that case, if she was not mitaheret from her ziva, that blood would continue to be dam ziva, and would be metame lach v'yavesh. So says the Mishnah. Now, the braisa yesterday that was brought in the Gemara runs like this. Amar lahem Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, yatem modim benida, shelo tavla v'ras adam shitmeya. I don't understand. Don't you understand? I mean, if you have a nida didn't go to the mikveh, so you're going to say, okay, but it's 20 years later. I mean, now why should their adam be tamei? What do you mean? She didn't go to the mikveh. Her adam is always tamei, whatever it's coming from. A woman who didn't go to the mikveh remains a nida. So why don't we say the same thing? A woman who doesn't go to the mikveh after giving birth remains a yoledes. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? Says Beit Shammai, it doesn't make any sense at all. What do you mean? Let me remind them, Benita. What are you talking about? If the Nida had gone to the mikveh, and now she would have seen new dam, she wouldn't have been a Nida because of the new dam. The new dam doesn't have to, is not a Nida because she was a Nida. The new dam itself is a Nida. Well, I understand what you're saying. You're certainly not going to tell me that a woman who gives birth, if she had gone to the mikveh, her next dam is going to be the dam of her birth, her next dam is going to be dam Torah. How can you prove that you need to go to the mikveh to have dam Torah from the fact that a Nida, who even if she had gone to the mikveh, it still would have been dam Nida? That's ridiculous. Says Beit Shilo back to Beit Shammai. Ah, that's your problem. Okay, so how about you'll let it dissolve? You'll let it dissolve. You yourself were made in the Mishnah. Now, what's the din of a yoledes dissolve? That only if she goes to the mikveh, tov lavara salayachar meisvish, she counts 7 days, goes to the mikveh, then her blood is tar. But if she didn't go to the mikveh, and she continues to see dam, her blood is tar. So too, the yoledes, who doesn't go to the mikveh, her blood is tar. Says Beit Shammai, I don't agree with your assumption. Hu hadin v'hi hatshuva. It's exactly the same situation. So what if she was a yoledes bezov? Who cares? She didn't go to the mikveh, but now she's not a zava. We maintain that that dam would be dam tohar. Okay, I mean, the b'rabbanan will be matame. It'll be matame only a lot. We're not yavish like a mayan, even though it isn't really a mayan. Yes, the Gemara, of course, that's impossible, because in the Mishnah it says beferish that Beit Shammai agreed to Beit Hillel in the case of a yoledes bezov. Now they're claiming that Beit Shammai doesn't agree with Beit Hillel. What's going on? Answers the Gemara, Beit Shammai agrees to Beit Hillel if she never counted Shiva Nikian. So then, Einochinami, she never lost her status of a Zoma. This Dam continues to be Dam Zivais. But if she counted Shiva Nikiyam and she didn't go to the mikveh, that's exactly the same thing as being a Yoledes who didn't go to the mikveh, because Yoledes never need Shiva Nikiyam. That's why they said, Hu Adin V'hi HaTshuva. It's the same case. The case in the Mishnah where it says, well, we're Moda to you. That's talking about where she never counted the Shiva Nikiyam. The case in the Braisa where they said, Hu Adin V'hi HaTshuva, is talking about where she did count Shiva Nikiyam. So now what are you saying? But she didn't go to the mikveh. Exactly. Why does she have to go to the mikveh? We're talking about her dam. We're not talking about her. She, of course, she's tamei until she goes to the mikveh. She's tamei. You can't become untamei without going to a mikveh. But we're wondering what the status is of her dam. This is dam tohar. Dam tohar is not the tamei. It's a mitzvah bona. Maybe we go to the mikveh. Let's just see that inside. Say, aye, it says, many be a letter of to may a lock be your base. She answers the Gemara, Lokasha Kan Shalashisifra. In the Brides, it's talking about she counted 7 days. In the Mishnah, it's talking about she didn't count 7 days. In both cases, she didn't go to the Mikveh. And in fact, it says, Beferish and Abrais of Hatanya, your letters bezolved. Shisifra. Note that the only Makloch is in the case where she was Soferet. Velo Tabla, Verata, Okubet Shamai Lashitatam, Ubetile Lashitatam. Both hold exactly what they said in the Mishnah about the Yoledes. No difference if she's Yoledes Bezov, that was Soferet Shiva Nikiyam, or she was Yoledes Stam, who didn't count Shiva Nikiyam, doesn't need to count Shiva Nikiyam. Okay, this is the background. Now, in the context of this background, we introduced the very important machlokas of Rabbi Shmuel, into how to understand the concept of Dam Tohar. What is the Pshat Dam Tohar? Is Dam Tohar an arbitrary determination by the Torah? Look, same Dam coming in this day is Tohar, and in that day is Tamei. So if this blood appears before the 8th day of a Zohar, before the 15th day of an Akeva, it's Tamei. If the same Dam appears on the 8th day or the 15th day, it's Tohar. Or the same Dam appears on the 81st day, it's Tamei, and on the 80th day, it's Tohar, but it's the same Dam. That's called Ma'ayan Echad. It all comes from the same place. Or do we say, as Levi explains it, that it's not the same Dam that the Torah is being Matya? or the Torah is being an aser. And the Torah is saying, normally speaking, we have a physiological change, that we have dam leida that extends for a maximum of 2 weeks, by mikveh. After those 2 weeks are over, generally speaking, that dam stops flowing, and now we have another mokar of dam that begins. But you'd have to see that there was a stoppage in order to allow for the beginning of the next flow. And vice versa, the end of the 80 days, or the 40 days of the Zohar, the dam that was coming from the place, the Mayan that is Tahor, stops flowing. And now there starts to flow once again that old Mayan of Tumah. And now the blood is coming. And that's called Shtei Mayanot. There are two wellsprings of dam. Again, this doesn't necessarily mean it doesn't come from the womb. It means it's different parts of the womb. It means it could mean it's different hormonal triggers that trigger the dam. But it's coming from a different shoresh, is the pshat. That's called Shtei Mayanot. The reason we introduce this here is because it has profound implications for the machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. But before we get to what those profound implications are, let us understand the implications of the machlokas of Rav and Levi directly. Is it Mayan Echad or is it Shtei Mayanot? So yesterday the Gemara explained this very, very simple and very important implications. If you hold according to Levi that it's Shtei Mayanot, so then we need to have at least a momentary cessation of the old flow in order to say it was Nisam, and therefore we can assume that the new blood, as the Torah told us, is coming from the new Mayan. But if there was never a time that the old Mayan stops, there's never a time for the new Mayan to start. Therefore, this is part of the physiology. First, Nistam Ha'ex, and then Niftach Ha'Y. If there's no Nistam Ha'ex, there can't be a Niftach Ha'Y. So therefore, at the beginning of the period, the woman continues now to bleed without let up from the end of the seventh day, and she bleeds, let's say, another 3 days. Those 3 days is not Dam Torah, because there was no let up in the Dam. We have to assume it's the same old blood that's coming. Whereas according to Rav, what's the difference if it's the same old blood? It's always the same old blood. It's just that the Torah says the same old blood is not coming anymore. So why would I need a let up? I don't need a let up. That let up is meaningless according to Rav. So the key word in this is shofat. Shofat means continues to flow, a continual flow. Or actually a continuous flow. Okay? Now, on the other hand, at the end of the 80 days, the opposite would be true. Because according to Levi, who holds that up until now it's been tahar, if it doesn't stop, it's still tahar, even though it's the 81st day, the 82nd day. Because there hasn't been time to begin the flow of Tameh Dam, since the Tahar Dam never stopped. So we need to see an end to that flow, and then we can talk about the flow of the Dam that is Tameh. Whereas according to Rav,
1 day?
A few minutes.
Oh, a stoppage.
Stop, some stoppage. Moment there's a stoppage, we can now begin a new flow. But there needs to be a stoppage. That's why I say continuous, not continual. If, however, we hold according to Rav, what's the difference? Rav says you don't need a stoppage. It's always the same dam. It's just that the Torah defines it in terms of when it happens. That's all. Doesn't matter whether it's stopped or not. Therefore, according to Rav, the moment the 80 days are over, the same dam that continues to flow suddenly and magically turns into dam that's tummy. So it turns out that there's a kula and a chumra according to Rav and according to Levi in opposite sides of the coin. According to Rav, there's a kula at the beginning. Even if she continues to bleed after the 7 days, it's defined as tahar. According to Levi, there's a chumra at the beginning. If she continues to bleed, it's still the blood of Leda. At the end of the period, according to Levi, there's a kula, because if she continues to bleed, then that's the same dam that's tahar. I didn't get a chance to start the new flow of dam that's tamer. According to Rav, at the end of the period, it's a chumra. Because now we're going to say the Torah arbitrarily decided, listen, doesn't matter if it's the same dam, the dam is now tamer, it is hereby tamer. All right, so now let's just see this inside now and make sure we get that straight. Itmar Rav Amar Ma Yanechadu Atorati Ma'ato Vatorati Harato V'Levi Omer Shnei Ma'ayanotein Nistam HaTamei Niftak HaTahor Nistam HaTahor Niftak HaTamei Mai Beinayu. I'm just reading inside what I just explained outside. Mai Beinayu Ike Beinayu Shofa'at Mitoch Shiva Le'ach Shiva. Or for a female, Mitoch Arba'asa Le'ach Arba'asa. The other difference would be on the other end, Umitoch arba'im li'achra arba'im, umitoch shmonim li'achra shmonim. So according to Rav, at the beginning you've got a kula, because it turns into dam tohar automatically, even if it's still flowing. And the seifa, meaning the last part after the 40 days or the 80 days, you got a chumra, because it turns into dam tameh, even if it's still flowing. According to Levi, it's the exact opposite. At the beginning, she remains a tumas yoledes for as long as the blood continues to flow. That's a chumra. On the other hand, at the end of this process, you have a kula, according to Levi. Because if there was no let up in the dam continues to be dam tohar, because it's obviously coming from the makor of dam tohar. So Levi, the reisha is a chumra, because it continues to be tummy, but the seifa, where she continues to bleed, is a kula, because now we know that it continues to be dam tohar. Amazing. And now comes the important part for our sugya. We're now going to take these two introductory brief paragraphs here and see whether they're interrelated. Is the machlokas of Rav and Levi about Ma'ayan Echad or Shnei Ma'ayanot, does it relate to the machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel in the Mishnah? So now, on the surface, it surely does. As the Gemara points out, how do we understand the Mishnah? Mace. The Mishnah says, Adam hayoledet shelo tavla, Beit Shammai gives it a din midrabbanan of ma'ayanot. So it's like her spit, it's like her urine. Ubeit Hillel omrim, Beit Hillel says, no, this is serious dam leda, it's metame lach miyavesh, because she never went to the mikvah. Now, the way that we understood the Mishnah, the Pashtus, is that the Mishnah is talking about a normal case, not that the woman is bleeding continuously. And that there was a let up in the dam, well, whatever, there's a little bit of bleeding every day and so on. But that, not that we have a continuous bleeding from the end of the seventh day into the eighth day. So Kasakadak, the Pascha, that's called Pascha, that there were interruptions in the flow. So now, I understand, according to Rav, it all adds up, okay? According to Rav, Beit Hillel makes a great deal of sense. I mean, we're talking about, it's all the same blood anyway. So who cares, right? Okay, so therefore, says Beit Hillel, look, until you go to the mikvah, this blood is dam leda. What changes it? It's coming from a yoledes who is tamei. The Torah said a yoledes who is tamei, it doesn't go to the mikvah, her blood is tamei. So therefore, this blood remains tamei because it's the same blood. But according to Levi, it's physiologically not the same blood. So what's the explanation? According to Levi, Beit Hillel says, no, this is dam of leda. I understand. The Torah tells you that blood that comes after the seventh day or after the 14th day of the Nekeva is not dam leda. And Beit Hillel has decided that the Torah is wrong. It is dam leda. I mean, well, I don't understand. If she had a nosebleed, are you going to say her blood from her nose is tamei because she's a yoledes? This is a nosebleed, essentially. The Torah said this blood is not the blood that is normally metame. It's coming from somewhere else. It might as well be coming from a nosebleed. So where did Beit Hillel get off in saying that that blood is tamei just because she's a yoledes? There's no such thing. There's no halacha that a woman who is tamei, or any blood that she sees, is tamei. If Anita has a nosebleed, her blood is not tamei. So this is no different. How's the Levi going to explain this? Says the Gemara. So the Levi, the Amish Nema Yonot, Amait Mitamilach Miyave, how do you explain it? Says Levi, I don't explain it. In that case, you're absolutely correct. But that's not the case. The case wasn't the case where there was a chance for the Dom to stop. And now we have the Dom coming from location 2, which the Torah says is Tahar. The Mishnah is obviously talking about a case in Beit Hillel where the bleeding continued. Therefore, says Beit Hillel, since the bleeding continued, it's talking about a shofar. So, therefore, this is coming from the same place as the Torah said was tummy. So, since the Torah said it's tummy, it remains tummy. No, wait a second. That's a very good point. But then, what could Beit Shammai possibly hold according to Levi? I mean, how could Beit Shammai say that if it's still the same blood? I mean, I thought that's the whole point. Levi is saying the only time the Torah said that it's dam tohar is where you've established that it stopped coming from location A, which is tummy, and started coming from location B, which is tar. Now, but now you're telling me the case is it never stopped coming from location A. And nonetheless, Beit Shammai says, actually, Midirais, it's tar. How could it be tar? So, Ibishofat, Esbigamara, how did Levi understand Beit Shammai? Ah, says Levi. Don't you understand? Beit Shammai is the one who holds like Rav, which of course is why Rav is wrong. That's the whole point. The Machlokas, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, is to be understood as the reason I don't hold of Rav. To me, the simple understanding of the Mishnah runs like this. A case of a woman who is continually bleeding after birth. It's now the eighth day. She had a Zachar. Says Beit Hillel, well, if she's bleeding the whole time, it's the same blood of Leda. The Torah never was mitayer that blood. Says Beit Shammai, no, actually, my sheet is that the Torah arbitrarily was mitayer that blood. But since she didn't go to the mikveh, the Rabbanan asked it. And therefore, it's only Aser if it's Lach, not if it's Yavesh. There you go. The Mishnah is clearly saying that I'm right, and Rav is wrong, because he's going according to the sheet of Beit Shammai. So now, according to Levi, we have a clear explanation of the Machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Do we say it's a Mayan Echad? Or do we say it's Shtei Mayanot? If you hold it's Shtei Mayanot, then if she's continuously bleeding, so then says Beit Shammai, since it's Shtei Mayanot, you never got a chance for the Dam Torah to kick in. It's still Dam Torah. Says Beit Shammai, no, even so, it's arbitrarily Tahar. And that's not true, la halacha. And that's why I, Levi, say that Beis Hillel is right, and that it's Shtei Mayanot. Okay? Now, let's take a look at it the other way. Bishlei Melo Levi, Hadadigabein Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. According to Levi, we do have a very clear machlokas, and we understand the basis of the machlokas. But according to Rav, what indeed is the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? I mean, Rav is clearly claiming that everybody holds that it's a Mayan Echad, right? The Torah arbitrarily said it was Tahar. So how, if the Torah arbitrarily said it was Tahar, how would you understand Beit Hillel as saying that it's Tamei? What's the machlokas exactly between them? Says the Gemara, the point over here is Beit Shammai holds the Torah said end of 7 days, beginning of Tohar. That's when I arbitrarily define this blood as Tohar. And Beis Hillel says end of 7 days and go to the mikveh, and then you got Dam Tohar. You didn't go to the mikveh? I didn't arbitrarily define the Dam. It's dependent on your becoming Torah. Then we'll define the Dam as being Torah. That's not my focus. What did the Torah mean by Dam Torah? That when the woman is mitaheret, her blood becomes Torah? Or that the blood becomes Torah even though she's Tmeah?
That
does
change the source of the
Dam. It doesn't. According to Rav, nothing changes the source of the Dam. It's always, remember, we're going in Rav now. According to Beit Hillel, according to Rav, it's the same dam all along.
The mikveh
changes the halacha, that's all. Like it always does. Okay. Beit Shammai says, where did the Torah ever say she had to go to the mikveh? The Torah said 7 days, and the eighth day is Dam Torah. If she wants to go to the mikveh, that's her business. Either she will be Torah or she's not. If the water's too cold, the Torah says she has to go to the mikveh. That's her problem. But as far as what this dam remains Dam Tohar, it's not Dam Yoledes. Tashma. Umodim Bioledes Bezov Shitmeya Lach Viavesh. Now we have to understand the next piece of the Mishnah. The next piece of the Mishnah says that Beit Shammai admits that in a case where she was a Yoled as Bezov, and we said she was not Sofer, she was Nekiyim, that over there, definitely it's Tami D'Oraisa. Now, I mean, it's a reasonable assumption to make that the case, the last case in the Mishnah, is similar to the first case in the Mishnah. Remember? Okay, but we thought now that it's talking about Poska. She wasn't bleeding continuously. It's a little bit of blood every day. Okay. According to Rav, who holds it's all Mon Ma'ayan anyway, of course, that explains why Beit Shammai is Voda. I'm Voda, since it's all one thing, and she never really had her Shivas Nekiyim. So it remains Dam of Zivas. But according to Levi, it's a nosebleed. Right? So it's according to Levi. If you're telling me that after 7 days, this is Dam that's coming from somewhere else, it's Shnei Ma'ayanasein. So how do you explain that according to, and everybody agrees, even Beit Shammai agrees? So Betame Lach V'Yovich? Why? Am I Betame Lach V'Yovich? No, according to Levi, of course, we'll have to say that it's talking about that it was not a nosebleed, meaning that the woman was continuously seeing Dam, and that there was not a time for the new mucker of Dam to open up, and therefore this is not a nosebleed, this is really blood that is coming from a place that's Tame. So says the Gemara, but if that's the case, talking about a shofas, then isn't it obvious that she's tummy? What's the chiddush? What do you mean, what's the chiddush? It's a big chiddush. The chiddush is a libet Beit Shammai. Yitzri, l'may yitzri, l'Beit Shammai yitzri. That even though Beit Shammai says, remember, his shita is that it's a mayan echad. Mayan echad means that the Torah arbitrarily decides the blood coming from this location. Remember, that's how Levi understands the Machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. That according to Beit Shammai, it's Mayan Echad, and that's why Rav is wrong, remember? So, would you not have thought that according to Beit Shammai, that it's Mayan Echad, and Beit Shammai holds you don't need to go to the Mikvah? So wouldn't you have thought that if she was a Yoledes Bezov, so she doesn't have to go to the Mikvah, but the Torah arbitrarily says that this new Dam is coming from somewhere else, it's a nosebleed. So, and if she was a Zava who has a nosebleed, would you say that her blood is Tame from her nose? Of course not. It's not a Mayan. It's not coming from a Malcolm Tame. So what's the problem? It's not a Chiddush. Tremendous Chiddush to tell you that even according to Beit Shammai, nonetheless, the arbitrary determination that this blood should be blood that's Tahar, in a Yoledes, indeed, is a determination at the end of the 7th day or at the end of the 14th day. But in a Yoledes Bezov, the Torah never makes that determination until after she keeps 7 clean days. Since she didn't keep 7 clean days, forget about going to the Mikvah, she doesn't go to the Mikvah. But the clean days are the determining factor into whether we see this Dam as being the Dam of Zivas, or we see this Dam as being the Dam that is in the middle of her Yemei Leda, which is known as Dam Tohar. And that's a Chiddush. So therefore, the Mishnah says you should know that Beit Shammai is Moda. If she didn't count 7 clean days, that then, even though when it comes to the Yoledes, I say that Mikvah is not important, it's not important for the Zava either. But it is important to distinguish her Dam. And the Torah says it takes 7 clean days for me to redefine the nature of the next flow of Dam. It always says that. Normally, when a woman is a Zava. So we're going to say, any Dam that she's going to see from now until doomsday, until she keeps Shivas Nekiyim, is going to be blood of Zivas. Isn't that true? For the next 50 years, it's going to be Dam of Zivas. Until she counts 7 clean days, and then we restructure that Dam. We say, okay, now the Dam will have a din of Dam Nidas. See, here too. It takes 7 clean days to stop the definition of Dam Zivas, and then we'll define a new Dam as Dam Tohar of Leda. Not as Dam Nidais. Fine, but whatever. But it's important for you to know that certainly Beit Shammai does not hold that Dam Tohar will automatically redefine the Dam of Ziva without Shivas Nekiyim in the same way that it redefines the Dam of Leda without Tefillah. It's not the same. Beit Shammai, in fact, is Leda that you need Shivas Nekiyim. Fine, so now we have two different understandings of the Machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, according to Levi. And gentlemen, it's very important to get through the next daf that we understand clearly these three sugyas. First of all, what is the Machlokas in terms of its logistics, which is the first thing that we did. What's the difference between a Nida, a Yoledes, and a Zava in the Shitas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? The second thing we need to understand clearly is the Machlokes, Rav and Levi, about Mayan Echad or Shnei Mayones. And the third thing we need to understand clearly is how Rav and Levi understand the Machlokes Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, which I will now review so we get this clear, then we can continue. According to Levi, the Machlokes Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel in the Mishnah, namely, does the woman who is a Yoledes, does there need to be now some type of redefinition of her dam in order to make her dam tohar, or as Beis Hillel says, and if that doesn't happen, then the dam continues to be the dam of Leda, or is do we go according to Beit Shammai, who says, no, there does not to be need to be anything that changes it. It's a bit about it. Machlokas being, says Levi, very simple. Beit Shammai holds that actually it's all one Mayan. Therefore, since the Torah defines arbitrarily the same blood as being Tomei or being Tar, what's the difference? You go to the mikveh or not? Whereas Beit Hillel holds, no, actually there's two separate places where this blood is coming from. And the Mishnah is referring to a case where there was no let up in the blood. And therefore Beit Hillel says, look, I mean, if there's no let up in the blood, so then it's going to remain the blood of Leda. Nothing you can do about it. That's how Levi understands it. So the Machlokas Gufa is it Shnei Mayanot or is it Mayan Echad? According to Rav, the Machlokas is, it's the same blood. The Teras both hold that the Tera arbitrarily defines this blood. The Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is the arbitrary determination of the Tera based only on the day? Or is the arbitrary determination of the Torah based on the day and on the act of tefillah? Does the woman have to go to the mikveh? Beis Hillel says, if she didn't go to the mikveh, where did the Torah ever give you meitayah? Therefore, the blood remains tamei. Beis Shammai says, where do you get the idea she had to go to the mikveh? It didn't say she had to go to the mikveh. And that's the machlokes of Beis Shammai and Beit Hillel. Fine. Now, starts the new daf. Toshma. We're now three lines up from the bottom. The Torah says, when it comes to Yoledes, ki me nidat dvota titma. As it were, she is a nida, even though she's not really, and she is mitamat, as if she's a nida. From there, none of this is necessary. Dvota means the discomfort, menstrual discomfort. And that's not really an important part of the problem of nidas, as far as halacha is concerned. And yet the Torah suddenly insists that we talk about not stam kimei nidata, but kimei nidat dvota titma. It's coming to add something. What is it coming to add with dvota titma? First of all, it's adding l'rabot et boala. To tell me the halacha, that someone who sleeps with a yoledet is the same as sleeping with a nida. Okay? Furthermore, even though it says Shivat Yamin Tehe, it doesn't mean only the daytime, it covers the nighttime as well. L'rabot Halaylot. So Dvota Titma, just like Anita is Tmeya for the nighttime, so too is Yoledes is Tmeya the nighttime as well. And Dvota Titma also comes to be Marve, that a Yoledes Bezov still requires Teshiv Shivat Nikiyim. She still needs Shivat Nikiyim in order to become Tahora. We don't say that, well, you know, she had a birth that now resets her clock, and now this blood is no longer the blood of Zivas, because it starts all over again, all of her hormones have been reset, which is what we say by Nida, right? We don't say that because of Nida, because of Devota Titma. Now, I understand according to Rav, he's saying the same blood is continuing to flow now from the blood she saw as a Zava before the Leda, the blood of the Leda, the blood after the Leda. It's all the same thing. It's just the Torah gives a different din. How? Therefore, I need to know. Obviously, the Torah is coming to redefine the blood. Okay, he needs 7 days, and that's the din of Zivas all over. He needs 7 days to redefine the blood. So where do I have to get the blood that's Tara? But if you hold like Levi, Levi says, look, physiologically speaking, after the birth, you have now dam that is, for all intents and purposes, a nosebleed. It's coming from somewhere else. It's not going to be metamic. So, does this make sense? Salam alei shiva. I understand. Why do you need shiva tzvikiyin? All you need is a let up in the flow, a 1 minute let up, to be able to establish that this new blood is a nosebleed. So why does it say we're dashing a pusik that makes no sense according to Levi? The pusik is saying you need shivas yomim nikiyim for your letters bezov in order for her to get dam that is dam of a Torah. So lomali shiva b'mashu sagi. Says the Gemara, well, of course, that's what it means. What it means is, achikama, tzricha shekifsok mashu, she needs some momentary interruption after the 7 days or after the 14 days in order for her now to be able to get kideshi ya'alu l'leshiva nikiyim, in order for her time to become now, we know in order to become tahira, she needs shivas nikiyim. But if the same blood continues to flow, she won't be able to sit shiva tzvikiyin. Now that she has this break, so after the time of the Leda, even though she continues to be raya dan tehar, she now has her shiva tzvikiyin, because of course there's a nosebleed. If a woman has a nosebleed during her shiva tzvikiyin, it doesn't hurt her shiva tzvikiyin, does it? Okay, so fine. But we have to first establish it's a nosebleed. So how do we establish a nosebleed? With a break of a moment, in order to allow her to have shiva tzvikiyin. That's all it means.
There's nothing to check at all. All it is it can. Once the break.
Once there's a break for a moment,
nothing else.
It's tam tov.
How do we know that there's been that break if it's even that little of time?
We know. What do you mean? She makes a bedika and suddenly it's tahar. Whereas 5 minutes ago it was tahar. So obviously she stopped bleeding for a few minutes. What's the problem? The way we always know, so we always establish. And we make a hefsek tahara. She makes a hefsek tahara. Over here, a hefsek tahara doesn't have to be the end of the day. It could be any time, any point at all. She makes a hefsek tahara. She makes one batika. The batika comes out clean. She's now bleeding from somewhere else, as long as it's after the seventh day. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim
Elom Amen. If the stoppage is after not the 7 or 14, it's after 9 or after.
Same thing?
Only at
whenever
that,
it
that
is.
Point.
From that point.
And if she didn't see the hefsek for all intents and purposes, it didn't happen.
What's that?
She didn't see the hefsek. She was pasak momentarily,
yeah.
But she didn't notice it. So for
no, it's only the bedika that's important. The bedika noticed it. Right. She does. It has nothing to do with her. It's just the physiology. We need to know what happened. Okay. Let's take a look now at a braisa that we had early on in the Masechta. It says like this. Remember that back in the sugya, the opening sugya of the Masechta of Daya Sha'ata, what type of women do we say do not have to worry about the blood that they're now seeing having been there before, 24 hours earlier, right? Daya Sha'ata. We're only chayshish for terms of tyrus from this moment on. So two of the examples of a woman in Daya Sha'ata was a pregnant woman or a nursing woman. But we explained over there that in pregnancy and nursing we need to establish 3 missed periods. 3 missed periods now mean that we no longer have to be chayshish for a ri'iyah. Backwards. So it's okay, she has now a chazaka that she's not raya, and from this point on she'll be tamei, but we're not going to say 10 minutes ago she was tamei. Right? That's daya shaita. Now it says over there, yimei ibura olim lala yimei minikuta, yimei minikuta olim lala yimei ibura. So in other words, what do we mean? We mean we don't need that 3 months of pregnancy. Let's say she really was bleeding throughout her pregnancy. She had a problem. And only the last month and a half she stopped bleeding from her pregnancy, but then she had a baby. But after she has the baby, she starts nursing. So now another month and a half goes by, and she has now a total of 3 months of missed periods, if we ignore the birth in the middle, right? So that's also good. As long as you get between the pregnancy and the nursing, you get 3 months. So then she's missed 3 periods. So what do we mean? Okay, so let's say she had 2 months while she was pregnant without any blood. And then after she had the baby, she had 1 month that she was a nursing mother. Or maybe she had only 1 month in the pregnancy and 2 months as a nursing mother. Or a month and a half as a pregnant woman and then a month and a half as a nursing mother. It doesn't matter. Basically, olim lo shalosh shanos. She now missed 3 periods of the classic period of 30 days, the ona benedis, and she's now dayashaita. Now, this makes perfectly good sense according to Rav. Because according to Rav, the blood that she was bleeding as a yoledes and so on, it's all mayan echad. Okay. So therefore, if it's mayan echad, we need to establish that she missed 3 of these periods. So now, at the end of the pregnancy, her hormones finally asserted themselves and she misses her period. Now she gives birth, and now she's still bleeding. If she's still bleeding, she hasn't established that she stopped bleeding. So she's got to establish that she stopped bleeding for another month and a half, right? Or the other 2 months, whatever the case was. Because after all, it's all the same blood. But according to Levi, she was there. Even when she was bleeding, she wasn't bleeding. Because according to Levi, even when she was bleeding, she had a nosebleed. It had nothing. It happened to be a vaginal nose, but it was a nosebleed. It wasn't the bleeding that had anything to do with the nidus. So why, according to Levi, would I possibly need to establish that she actually missed any re'iyah of dam after she gave birth? Even if she was bleeding, it wouldn't make any difference, because that's not the blood that the Torah was talking about that's going to be matame, so that afterwards, after 80 days, if she does have some bleeding, we're going to say, oh, look, she's been bleeding all along, she didn't miss 3 periods. What are you talking about? That blood was a nosebleed. What does that have to do with establishing that she should be tame backwards in time? Why would I possibly need a month of non-bleeding? Let her bleed. So long only have six shalosh shanos. I understand. B'mashu sagi. According to Levi, all I need is that momentary let up to be able to make a hefsek tyra. Now I know that there was a few minutes she wasn't bleeding. Now this new blood is tar anyway. So who cares if it was bleeding? It's not gonna establish, oh well, this woman, you know, she's got a tendency to bleed, and therefore we should say that 24 hours before the time that we find the rear, she must have already had bled. Nonsense. She had no tendency to bleed. She had a tendency for nosebleeds. So, b'mashu sagi, answers the Gemara, that is precisely what it means. Hachi kama, according to Beit Sham, according to Levi, tzrichashet tipsok mashu, she needs a break of some kind, kidei she'yalu la l'shalosh shanos, in order that you should have 3 einos. Even if she is bleeding, that's not blood. So as a nursing mother, for 80 days, she misses those 80 days? What's the difference if she was bleeding during those 80 days? It has nothing to do with establishing that. So that's all. We just need that one hepsic tire, and everything would be fine. Okay, how about this? Dashma. The shavim. We had this, we said before. Shavim, baroa, achredam, tohar, shudayashait. It says that both Shammai and Hillel, who say that there's a machlok, remember machlok and Shammai and Hillel about kol anoshim dayan shaitan, or about whether we were metame back to the previous time that she had checked, but they all agree that if this woman had birth and she had been bleeding as dam teha, so certainly over there, you do not have to be chayshish that this woman had seen the blood earlier and was metame from before. Now, this makes a very good sense according to Levi. Because according to Levi, since she had been bleeding from somewhere else, So now for the past all this time, she was never bleeding Dam Nidais. Therefore, Shammai and Hillel will say, look, a woman is already clearly not bleeding Dam Nidais. She just has a lot of nosebleeds. Is certainly not in a chazok of seeing Dam. So it's as if this is the first time now in her life. We reset her biological clock. And just like we're ready to agree that a betulat damim, a woman who never saw blood before, we don't say you have to be chayshish that she saw the blood earlier. She now starts to see blood. So too this woman, having reset her clock by the leita, even though she was bleeding the whole time, dam tohar, that's a different kind of blood. If now she suddenly sees dam, that is nidais, this is a woman who never bled dam nidais before, so to speak. So why should we be worried about being metame her backwards? According to Levi, that's great. Makes a lot of sense. But according to Rav, it makes no sense at all. This woman has been bleeding continuously, basically. So now you're going to say, so why should we be crazy? She bled yesterday. What do you mean, why should you? Because she's been bleeding for the past 3 months. I don't understand what you're saying. Why should we be crazy? Well, but it was tar. But that's only because the Torah arbitrarily said it was tar. Is that because it was really tar? Is that because it's different dam? Now that we know that she's bleeding the whole time, because here she bled again today. So, and now it's already the 85th day. So you're telling me, well, you don't have to worry if it's the 85th day that she also bled on the 84th day. Why not? She's bleeding the whole time. It's the same blood, and now we know after the 80th day it's definitely going to become Tameh. So what sense does it make, according to Rav, to say that Shammai and Hillel are made that there's no problem, and that for sure Daya Shaita? It makes no sense at all. So this seems to be a clear proof to Levi. And it's definitely Shtei Mayanot, and that if a woman was bleeding Dam Tohar, it has zero implications for her in terms of her likelihood to bleed Dam Nidais. It's totally different blood. So Bishleim on the Levi, Yomer Shtei Mayanot, okay, it makes perfectly good sense. Mishunachi Daya Shaita. But according to Rav, it's the same blood. It's Mayan Echadu. What are you telling me that it's Daya Shaita? How could it possibly be Daya Shaita? Titamemi 8:8, why isn't it Mitame backwards in time for 24 hours? If she bled on the 85th day, she should be Tame from the 84th day, the same way any other woman is Tamea. Says the Lord, I understand the case. The case is that it isn't the 85th day, it's the 81st day in the afternoon. So since it's the 81st day in the afternoon, you can't possibly say she's going to be in the time of the ace of the ace, because that would be trying to say that on the 80th day in the afternoon, she was Tamea. But the 80th day afternoon, the same blood as Tar, so she can't be Tamea, right? Oh, okay, fine, but at least, are you saying, the Leka shells? Okay, fine, but at least let her be Tamea back to the time that she did a Badika. Let's say she did a Badika on the morning of the 81st. Now she finds Dam in the afternoon of the 81st. So you're telling me Daya Shaita. Why Daya Shaita? Why not say from the morning, the last time that she checked? From the last time that she checked. So at least let her be Tamea that from then. Says the Gemara, because Kivan de mi'eit leka mi'pkida pkida la mi'lo gaza rabba rabbana. Since there's one gezera of a woman that she's metame in the event that she did a bedika till the time of a bedika, or in the event that she didn't do a bedika 24 hours backwards, this woman did not yet enter into the set of women who that takana applies to. Because since by definition she can't possibly be tamei 24 hours backwards, the Rabbanan did not include her in the gezeira being metame backwards at all. And therefore we have an anomalous case, indeed, where the woman, there's no logical reason why we should say that she would not be metame from the pekida. But the fact is that this gezeira was never made. The Rabbanan never made a gezeira on a woman who cannot be metame mi'eitz leis because she's still on the 81st day. To say, but at least let's be metame from the pekida. It's making a new takana for this particular case. We don't make a new takana. There's one takana. The one takana is, woman can be metame either mi'eitz leis or mi'pkida l'pekida. If she can't be metame mi'eitz leis, we have nothing to say about it. Well, that's explaining it according to Rav. Okay, so not a riot from here either. How about the next case? Tashma, let's take a look at this case. Yolet is bezov. This is the committed price that we just had yesterday. We went over this morning. Yolet is bezov. She safra. She counted her shiva stakiyin. She just never went to the bikkur. Velo tavla. And then she's Rasa, it says, Hoku Beit Shammai L'shitatan and Beit Hillel L'shitatan. Now, I mean, according to Rav, Rav says it's Mayan Echad, that makes sense, that they're Hoku L'shitatan. So now, Mishum Achim Etami Lach V'yavish, that would explain why Beit Hillel says, look, it's the same time. In this particular case, the Torah is Metami, according to Levi. Levi says it's Shnei Mayanis. I don't understand. This is a nosebleed. How is a nosebleed possibly going to become Tamei? What sense does that make? Amai mitamei lach miyavish. Avala kol Levi, says Levi, look. Did we just have a brice a minute ago? Vishavim. Did we have a brice that says Vishavim bit Shammai and Hillel? That if you see Dam after Dam Toa. Just a minute ago, right? It says over there, Daya Shaita. What was the case over there? That it's Daya Shaita, even though there was time. I mean, that's the pashtus. How do you read the price? What it means, dafka, that there was no time? Like what Rob is trying to kvetch. He's a kvetcher. You read the price like any normal person reads the price. The price says that a woman that's been bleeding since it was Dam Tehar, I don't care if it's the 85th day or the 90th day or whatever it is. The fact is that she does not have a history of bleeding. Why not? She's bleeding all along. So obviously there is a Mandi Amar who holds what I'm saying, that Shammai and Hillel are all agreed that Dam Torah is a nosebleed. Now you're telling me there's this other brisa over here that seems to say the other way. And that, in fact, they're made a, that they continue with their shita, and Beis Hillel insists that it's Tameh, even though it was, before it was Dam Torah. That's another Mandi Amar. What do you want from me? I can't account for everybody. But you just saw there's a Bryce that says clearly like me, okay, stop asking me questions. You find somebody else. There's some other understanding of HMI and Beit Hillel, which I hold is not normative. And this is the correct approach. Well, I've explained it to you. I showed you how beautifully it works out, and that's it. I mean, of course, I could always go back to the old standby. I don't like to. But the old standby is that we're talking about that there never was a let up in the bleeding. It was a shofar. I mean, as I said that before, I mean, if you want to, I'll say it again. See, by Zema, we could always say it's talking about b'shofar. So, by Zema, b'shofar. Wait a second. Hold on, Levi, we got you this time. You can't say it's talking about a b'shofar. B'shofar means that she continuously was bleeding. But it says over here that she counted she was Zakian. How the heck did she count Shiva's Nikian if she's bleeding? What do you mean? You're saying that she continued as a Yoletis, right? That's the case. She continued as a Yoletis. Listen clearly to what the case was. I mean, this is the case as given in the Bryce. Woman who is a Yoletis, and now you're saying she's continuously bleeding, which is why this is really still Dam Leda. But she also says, since it's still Dam Leda, it's Tamei, even though she was so fair, she was the Kiyan. That's a contradiction in terms. Yeah. How could she be so fair, she was the Kiyan, if she was bleeding the whole time? And if she wasn't bleeding the whole time, so then she's not Shofas. So now this is a nosebleed. So how could they still have said that a nosebleed is going to be Matamei her? This doesn't make any sense. Says Levi, of course it makes sense. Yeah, it makes perfectly good sense. You're right. If she had a boy, it doesn't make any sense. Because she only had 7 days of Leda. So if those 7 days, in fact, were 7 days that were Nikiyim, then she couldn't possibly have been a shofar. But how about if she had a girl? She had a girl. She keeps Shiva's Nikiyim. Now, obviously, this would only work if you hold that you can keep Shiva's Nikiyim during the time of Tumas Leda, which we saw earlier, not everybody agreed to. Definitely had the case before. They require Shiva's Nikiyim afterward. Okay. But let's say that you could keep Shiva's Nikiyim even during that period if she wasn't bleeding. So what happens? She has a girl, keeps now Shiva's Nikiyim, and bleeds. After 7 clean days, her Zimus is over, she kept Shiva's Nikiyim. She's still a Yoledes, but she had a girl. She's got 14 days of Tumah. And now she continues to bleed after the 14 days, the whole time. So it's still the Mayan of the Yoletas. But there's no more Zivas. There you go. Perfect case. So now she is not a Zava, but the Shamayas basically are saying, look, in this case it's the same Dom, baby, because they never let up.
But she had had the 7 days.
But then she bled afterwards. The Torah says that a Yoletas that bleeds, the 7 days helped her for a Zivas. It established that she's no longer bleeding as a Zava. Okay, very nice. So now she's a Yoletas. No? So Yoletas, who continues to bleed from the same marker, and she never went to the mikveh. So Bishol says, well, if she never went to the mikveh, she's still in trouble. I mean, so Dam is still going to be dumb. Bishamai says, what do you mean? She doesn't need to go to the mikveh. She kept her Shivas Yamin. She no longer is a Zava. The blood isn't blood of Ziva. Yeah, the Torah says that.
She has.
The Torah says that she's not. That after 14 days, she kicks in automatically. Because remember, says Levi, poor Beit Shammai made the mistake of holding like my dear friend Rav, who's always wrong. And therefore, what's the difference? They hold that, yeah, it would be the same Dan. Okay? Vosafra katani. The Shavua Kama Paska. So she keeps on Shivas Yomi the first week. Shavua Basra Lo Paska. The second week she wasn't posted from Riyaz Dan. Obviously, of course, we have one caveat, which is we would have to hold that Yemele Tatash Ein Roavem Olam L'Sfira Zivata, which is not what we held earlier. That as long as she isn't bleeding after a birth, she could keep 7 clean days, even though she's Tamea because of her Leda. Then in terms of the Zivas, there's no contradiction to being Tamea as a Leda, as long as it's not actually bleeding. Omele Ravina Ravashi. Ravina said to Ravashi, you know, Rav Shammai Misachra said to us that Marzutra came here, and he gave a drasha in which he said, we paskin like Rav, who holds that it's Mayan Echad, L'chumra. But we paskin also like Levi Lechorma. So in other words, on either end of the scale, according to Levi, at the end of the 80 days, if she continuously bleeds, she should still be tar. No. There we paskin like Rav Lechorma. But according to Rav, if she continuously bleeds from the 7th to the 8th day, she's tar. No. But there we paskin like Levi, that she's tar. So in other words, we get in our chumras on either end. So we paskin like both of them lechumra. Ravashi says no such thing. We paskin like Ra, bein lekula bein lechumra. It's mayan echad. The Torah was metame. The Torah was metire. It depends on the time, and it has nothing to do whether she was shofar, not shofar. It's all one mayan. Dorish Marimar. In fact, Marimar gave a drasha which he publicly announced. The halachas like Ra. Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra, and the Gemara says, yes, indeed, that's true. Hilchos HaKavasin Rav, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. And in this machlokas, Rav and Levi, we paskin like Rav. And it's Mayan Echad, the Torah was Metaher, the Torah was Metame, and therefore the machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel and the Mishnah is to be understood as a machlokas as to whether you need to have tefillah in order to start your Yemei Tehar, or whether you don't even need tefillah.
Even though Rav is always wrong.
According to Levi, he's always wrong.
Zukta Heilige Mishnah.
Shall we continue? No, it's too much? Your head is splitting open or something?
Well, the introduction was a good introduction.
Yeah, I'm sorry it was, but...
Thank you, it was a very good
How about a little bit? Can we do a little bit, or you're just afraid it's going
to
blow your sight?
No, I have to go.
We have to go. Let's give it a few minutes. Yeah. Okay, start that again. Hamikasha, a woman who has now a flow of blood while having labor pains, Nida. She's a Nida. I have to explain what that means. Okay. 3%. She's got labor pains. She's a nida. Kishtash lo shayamim betoch arba'a, betoch akadasar yom. Now let's say now that she had 3 days of pains within the 11 days that are between nidais. So she had had a period during her pregnancy. She had 7 days of tumas nida. Yeah, she went to the mikvah, whatever. Now it starts 11 days in which she could be a ziva if she bleeds. What happens is that she starts getting labor pains in the middle of these 11 days. And now she's got labor pains accompanied by bleeding and spotting for 3 days before the delivery. So, what happens is that for 1 day before the delivery, she shuffs up, meaning the pain stop. Pain stop, and then she has a baby. That's the Yoledes Bezod. No, it's the opposite.
Yeah, the opposite.
Shofa'at is to continue to pour. Shafta is that the pain's let up, even though she's still bleeding. Pain's let. There's no koshi. There's no pain. This is the Yoledes Bezod. So says Rebbe Eliezer. Because since she had 24 hours in which there were no longer any labor pains, we're going to have to assume that the original bleeding was not really part of the birth process. Because if it had been, the pains would have continued. Rabbi Yeshua says, it isn't a function of 24 hours. It's a function of a day and a night. So therefore, it's wrong to say 24 hours. You need Laila v'yom. You need the night before and the following day. Like Shabbos. Shabbos is you have a Laila and a Yom. Don't look at 24 hours. And, by the way, there's one Shita, which is Ritva Shita, who holds that when he says Kelele Shabbos v'yomo, he's adding something. Because by Shabbos you have a little bit extra before and a little bit extra after. He's not just bringing an example. I was just saying that you have to start that period without pain, and end a little bit after that period without pain, and then have the baby. Okay. Most learned that just giving an example. What do we mean by meshmiyes? Same thing we mean. It's a simon, like Shabbos. Starts at sunset and ends the next sunset. When I say sheshafsa, by the way, I say that it stopped. The labor stopped. I don't mean necessarily the bleeding stopped. I mean the pain stopped. Sheshafsa benatzar, even though she's still bleeding. Now, Kamahiki Shuya, how many days before birth, when she didn't stop, when there was no let up, how many days before birth can we assume that the pain was actually, and the related blood, was actually a function of the birth process? I mean, this can't go on forever, can it? So Kamahiki Shuya, Rabbi Meir says, look, even 40, 50 days before, as long as there was no let up, the pain, she had pains every single day. She had contractions and she had bleeding associated with that pain.
40 days before she gave birth?
Before she gave birth. Or 50 days before she gave birth. As long as it didn't let up. In other words, it continuously, every single day, continually, every single day she had some pain.
Poor woman.
Yeah. Nishmirat Hirayon. And then in the end, it happens during Shemarat Hirayon. Some women have contractions for many, many times, many months even. So even 50 days before, as long as there wasn't a whole 24 hours, or a whole day and night, depending on which sheet you hold, in which she did not suffer any pain, this is all from the latest, says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's got to be the ninth month. I mean, if it's outside the ninth month, these are not contractions of labor. It's just some type of hormones that are causing contractions, but it's not related that the Torah was matri. By the way, of course, we need to establish in the Gemara, how do we know that the Torah was matri? Because remember, normally a woman, by a male, we know if we can account for the zivas, then it's not tummy, but by a female, even if we can account for it, it is tummy, because it doesn't matter. Even if it's mach bazarines, so we're going to need to find a good bunker for telling us that because the bleeding is associated with birth, it's not zivas. Okay, but assuming that we have that the Mishnah is explaining to us the definition of bleeding because of birth. So Rabbi Meir holds 40 days, 50 days. Rabbi Yehuda says sometime in the last month it's got to be. And then Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon says a maximum of 14 days before delivery. And you don't find contractions related to delivery that are more than 14 days. You can have contractions at any time, but the only time the Torah says that it's the labor that is not zivas is when it's labor within 2 weeks of delivery. Says the Gemara, what in the world is meant by those opening words, Hamekasha Nida? That's ridiculous. I mean, how can you say it's a given that any Mikasha is a Nida? And I said, what happens if it takes place in the 11 days between one Nidus and the other? How about if she just got over being a Nida, and now she starts having labor pains, and she sees Dom? How could she be a Nida? How could she possibly be a Nida if she's not even in the period of her Nidus? What is the Mishnah talking about? Oh, my Rav says, Rav, it's like Nida Leyuma. It's a Nida for a day. Meaning that the Rabbanan, we're talking about, indeed, during the Yemei Ziva, and therefore, the MS, she shouldn't be Tmei at all. But look, you never know, do you? I mean, let's say, what are we going to say? We're going to say, she's good and pregnant. She's having contraction. She's probably going to have a baby. So therefore, the Torah says, blood that comes for a baby is not considered to me Zivas. So why should we make her a Zava? Well, wait a minute. You don't know, maybe the blood's going to let up. And then it'll turn out that this really was Dom, that was Matamir. You know what? Let's make her a Nida for a day, Mirabanan, so that she shouldn't sleep with her husband, meanwhile. And then she'll go to the mikveh if Lamaita should be able to go to the mikveh. She'll go to the mikveh.
One day.
Because, I mean, you know, it's basically Xera. Why should we, this is Dom Koshi, why should we make a fuss out of it? So says Rav. Shmuel says, no, you have to be afraid, really, maybe she'll let up completely. And if she lets up completely, then she was a Zava. She said, what do you mean she's a Zava? It's only one day. Okay, fine. So a Zava that sees in the 11 days of Zivas from one day, what's that long? And she can go to the mikveh tonight? No. Alaka, she has to keep one day of Tahar, Shomer Yom Kineged Yom. And then she goes to the Bikva. Different that did make her a Zava for a day. Not a Nida for a day. A Nida for a day doesn't accomplish anything. So we make her a Zava for a day, and therefore she needs to keep Shomer Yom Kineged Yom. Says Rabbi Yitzchak, this is all ridiculous. I'm a Kasha in a Klum. She's having labor pain, she's bleeding. Why should she be Tamei as anything? And I say, what makes you be chayshish now? At this point, she's having labor pains. I understand what Rav Yitzchak argues on the Mishnah. I mean, the Mishnah says, I'm a kasha nida. Well, how does he understand the Mishnah? And my Rav answers the Mishnah very simply. I'm a kasha nida means, I'm a kasha bimei nida nida. The Torah was matir the koshi during the days of Zivas, but the Torah was never matakoshi during the day of Nidas. So therefore, when the Mishnah is on a kasha nida, it's talking about a normal pregnant woman. A normal pregnant woman has not been having her period during her pregnancy. So now if she starts bleeding, this is not Zivas time, this is Nidas time. Because if she would lamaisa just have blood now without labor pains, what would she be? She'd be a Nida, she wouldn't be a Zava. Therefore, comes on the Mishnah to say, well, don't think that labor pains make a woman not a Nida. She's still a Nida. Now, had she been a Nida last week and gone to the mikveh, and now she has labor pains during the 11 days subsequent to Nidas, then she would be taught. Because we learned from a pasuk that blood that comes during Yemei Zivas is tahor. But if it's not coming during Yemei Zivas, it's coming during Yemei Nidas, then she's Tameya. Therefore, the Mishnah begins with a simple statement, which is normal. Hamakasha, Nida, period.